This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tea Clinic. One visit can change your life. Men's Tea Clinic offers a variety of men's wellness programs to help you meet your goals and keep you as strong as you've ever been. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEA today or visit menstclinic.com. That's menstclinic.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You're an idiot and you don't know baseball.
Ranger fans, you're not dreaming.
How can you not be romantic about baseball?
I'm not going to repeat what Bobby just said here, but it's time for Diamond Cavs here on 105.3 The Fan. It is the 8 o'clock hour. Sean and RJ, I'm RJ Choppy. Bobby Belt, Peyton, and Aiden alongside. The Texas Rangers need to get on. They need to get on this next little trend. So ESPN wrote an article about who's the next big deal now that Vlad Jr. got his mega contract. All right, so Vladdy.
Wander Franco.
He's already got done. It's going to be Wander Franco.
Yeah, because he already got his deal.
Yeah, I don't think.
I think he agreed to 3 to 5.
Huh?
I think he agreed to 3 to 5.
Yes. Okay, so. That is the question that they asked. Who's the next player to get that mega deal? Well, you know, they threw out names. My voice cracked there. I don't know why. they threw out names like Elly De La Cruz. They threw out names like Gunnar Henderson. Now, those guys are Boris clients, right? They also threw out a few other names. They did not mention Wyatt Langford. Look, Bobby Jr. just got a mega deal. We saw the Braves do this with Ozzy and with Ronald Acuna. They gave them long-term contracts. They bought up some of their years. The Rangers did this with Rugi.
Yeah. Gave him some horses.
He got his horses, right? So it's the smart financial. What happens is that basically you buy up their arbitration year. So Wyatt Langford has 5 years, if you count this year. He's got 5 years of team control left, right? 5 years of team control.
And if I was negotiating the next CBA, they got to find a way to get access to the free agent market earlier.
Yeah, because the problem is too many guys are getting free agency at 30.
Yeah.
And they're getting killed. So if I was a player and, like, you know, like that might be the owner's best bargaining tool to get the salary cap the owners want is that they get these players to free agency quicker. That might be their bargaining chip. Yeah, we'll get you to free agency in 3 years. 4 years, as opposed to 6. So
yeah.
At least you have some prime.
Something, because that's too long.
It's too long.
Especially when they go through the minor league system, and a lot of them don't get up here till later and everything else like that. Once you get up to that point, then you could be...
Yeah.
If you get these 26-year-old rookies, then yeah, you're into your early 30s. Like, I mean, you could be just coming into free agency at 32 or something.
I think that's if you went to college, that's you. If you play, like, I think Aaron Judge is like that. Aaron Judge didn't sign a contract when he was like 30, 31 by the time he got, you know, by the time he signed his second contract, his first real contract.
Yeah.
So from a team perspective, they're going to be 40 years old when their deal's done. Well, they're not going to be valuable at 40, at 38, 39, 40 anymore. So that's a problem. But to me, yeah, Wyatt Langford's on the cheap right now, maybe. In 2 years, when he goes to his first arbitration, it's going to get higher. Buy him up. They need to lock him up yesterday.
Yeah.
Give him an 11-year deal. Give him the Bobby Jr. Not quite the Bobby Jr. deal. I know Bobby got like 11 for like 300.
I'm Bobby Witt.
But we are talking about who I believe, outside of Shohei or Judge, I believe Bobby Jr. is the most valuable player in the sport.
He's really great.
He plays the most important position on the field, and he's great at it. And he can run.
Yeah.
You cannot find me a more valuable piece than a shortstop who can hit and run.
Yeah, get Langford done. He's already, I think, shown. Yeah. All right, he's shown you enough to just go ahead, buy out those arbitration years, get it done.
Right now, lock him up. 11, 10, 10 years, 200, 250, whatever it is, right? You know, whatever. Now, you'll massively be underpaying him when he hits free agency, but you'll massively be overpaying him right now. Like, do you want $200 million, or
right.
do you want to risk it that you get a career, whatever, you know? I mean, that's the risk. So that's how I would do it.
Yeah, I would get it done right now, and he's shown enough that I trust. All right, he's going to project out the right way. Now, obviously, you probably thought that way too about Evan Carter right after the World Series run. Where you're like, let's do it, let's invest it, and now you're sitting there going, well, I got some questions, and maybe I need to pull it back a little bit. So maybe that's they just are worried about getting burned by that approach, and they're like, we need to see a little bit longer that this is sustainable.
Yeah, because what you don't want is the Rangers to continue to have, you know, TV issues. Like, we have no idea where the TV market's going to be in 5 years. No idea. Do you really want the Dodgers and the Mets and the Yankees to have, you know, an opportunity to put their paws on them?
No, I don't.
I want to risk it.
And I mean, you never know if Nico Harrison's going to get into baseball.
Right.
And maybe trade your guy, too.
Yeah, maybe they get Nico to run the
That's
team.
What it could be. By the way, I'm looking on the Twitter right here. Colby Sapp, former KNC sidekick, just weighed in and said, Eric and Zach won.
Oh.
So, look, here's the deal. I'm tired of seeing that feedback from
a
few of you.
You're going to do a Colby diss track.
No, I'm just, I don't think people understand that was still me holding back. So that's fine. Monday. All right. Monday, they're going to get there. It'll really be over then.
You know, why don't you post one on your social
maybe that's what I'll do. Maybe
do
I'll
one
put it on
for
social.
The radio. Do a radio edit. There you go. Do a radio edit and then the uncut clean version or whatever on your social. Maybe who knows? Maybe that's probably a bad idea.
This is like Taylor Swift. Yeah. This is like Taylor Swift. It's not so much Taylor Swift that's going to get my animosity. Like, I mean, it's directed at you guys, but it's coming from your fans. So, Zach and Eric, this is coming from your fans, and so now the clapback you're going to get is due to your fans. So that's what you're getting.
Jake DeGrom goes tonight for the Rangers, 8:40 first pitch. Catch that game right here. We'll have pregame starting at 8 o'clock. Feel bad for the G-Bag Nation. That's two straight shows where they have to do the entire 5 hours. I don't know how they're going to handle it because they did yesterday, and they're going to do today as well. But we'll have the Ranger game. DeGrom going for his first official win of the year. The Major League batting average is at .237.
Gosh.
Down from .242 at the same point last year.
What's in room 237, Chop?
What movie is that from?
The Shining. Sorry, go ahead.
Is it?
Yeah, that was room 237.
Huh. It was .242 at the same point last year. It was .249 at the same point in 2023. The torpedo bats are showing that it does not make a difference. Boy, what? Have you heard something fizzle out more? We thought it was going to change the game, and now it's like, eh.
It's the Jeremy Lin of baseball.
Yeah, it really is. But listen to this. I found this very interesting. This is from Tom Verducci. From 2016 to 2024, 20,802 curveballs disappeared from the game. Wow.
How many?
20,802. Cutters outnumbered curveballs last year for the first time in ever. Just 9 years ago, pitchers threw twice as many curveballs versus cutters.
When did the curveball, it's interesting because the curveball used to be the one that was associated with the arm injuries. Now it's become a lot of the velocity and different things like that.
The curveball, if you like at the youth level, because a lot of kids throw it wrong.
Right, because it does, the torque that it requires to release things like that, it can, if it's thrown wrong, it can stress that ligament.
So, like, with a curveball, like, you could really, especially at the youth level, the way they teach it, you don't break your wrist at all. You don't do that. You just come over it, you're just crossing, and it's basically coming out of the top of your hand. It's just rolling over like a bowling ball. Kershaw's got, Barry Zito had a great one. Curveballs are becoming the almost extinct in late innings. Okay? So, this is fascinating. In late inning situations, teams are barely throwing curveballs. Through the first six innings, pitchers this year are using 9% of their pitches on curveballs. 7 through 9, it's 4%. The Dodgers last year in the playoffs, innings 1 through 6, 15% of their pitches were curveballs. 7 through 9, 3%. This year, 7 through 9 for the Dodgers, less than 3%. It's 2.5%. No one's throwing curveballs late in games. They're siding with high velocity. Pitch shaping. That's what they want right now. It's fascinating how, and this is all analytics, I'm sure, that they've found that curveballs are hit easier because they're slower. I don't know.
Who are the last, like, big-time late-inning relievers who didn't throw, like, high heat? I'm trying to think of, like, who some of the bigger ones were that weren't, like, just the top end of the velocity.
Keith Foulke.
Yeah, Keith Foulke was that
way. He wasn't a burner.
I mean, Rivera threw up to what, 95?
Well, that's high. Back then?
Yeah, it was back then. I'm just trying to remember that. But, I mean, his big thing was his cutter.
It was his cutter. He threw almost exclusively.
Which the cutter is what, cutter. I remember Alex Rodriguez telling Pete Rose that's what changed the game. Like, that's what made it, the real evolution of the cut fastball is what just made things really difficult on hitters, was because they were having trouble hitting it. That's what changed Colby Lewis's career. Colby Lewis went to Japan, learned the cutter, and then came back and was a different player.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but yeah, that has become so much more of a prominent pitch. We need to bring the curveball back.
I think the curveball is a really good pitch, but I understand why they want to move away from it.
You mentioned Barry Zito. You know who I always thought of with a curveball? It was one of those Hal Young is Peyton Russell names he didn't know.
Aaron Seeley.
I love
great 12-6.
Aaron Seeley's curveball was one of my favorite pitches to watch growing up.
Man. Kershaw has a great curveball.
Yeah, we heard that. We said that already, Bobby. Okay. Yeah. Way to repeat content. By the way, did you know the Jets had 44 hits last night and the Stars only had 27?
Yeah, they did. That's right. Yeah, they did. One team that did not have a lot of hits was this minor league team. The Jupiter Hammerheads. They walked 22 hitters in a game against the Dunedin Blue Jays this week. This is they're a single A affiliate of the Marlins. This is their announcers. Could you imagine a major league announcer just roasting the team?
We're broadcasting for maybe two people right now. That's for sure.
Hey, these two people are thoroughly mentioned and entertained right now.
Next pitch, misses outside, ball 4. Well, why not? 21 walks today. The payoff pitch from Reyes. Outside, ball 4. So there's the third walk of the inning, the 22nd walk of the game, and that'll load the bases for Manuel Beltre.
This has been a night. I can't say it's been any kind. It's just been a night.
It's one of the nights of all time, that's for sure.
It's a historical night.
It's one of the nights of all time. Yes. This is a night in history. Meaning I hope it never comes back.
22 walks.
That is such a brutal game. I do like the irony of them going, we're broadcasting for two people right now.
Yeah.
And then, nope, you're broadcasting for more than that.
No, a lot more than that right now, man. That's a tough night. It's a tough night for the there's nothing you can do. And you're the manager. I don't even know what you say. That's a disaster in waiting.
Yeah, no, that, I mean,
22 walks.
22 walks is just absurd.
Like, how long does that game last?
Did you see, I'm gonna throw in the story really quickly for you. You mentioned, this is what I thought you were setting up when you started bringing it up, and then you went to the walks. Did you see the battle of the losing streaks the other day in college baseball?
Yeshiva versus Lehman College?
99 games in a row for Yeshiva. They'd lost 99 games in a row, and Lehman had lost 42, and they played each other on Tuesday.
And they split.
In a doubleheader, and they split. They both broke it.
The best. But Yeshiva did get to 100 losses in a row.
Yes. The best possible outcome, though. And there was, There was a lot of people at that game. There was this reporter who was like live videoing it, and those stands were packed, and people were intense going
into it.
If that game was around the corner, I would have gone to it.
1,000%
I would have been at that doubleheader, and I would have been into every second of it.
Yes, yes, 1,000% yes.
So congratulations. Everybody gets a trophy in the end. They both broke their losing streaks.
Diamond Cavs here on 105.3 The Fan. Stars blow another chance to inch closer, and my new segment, Talk Birdie to Me, coming up next on 105 Through the Fan.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Is open, carried into the zone by Josh Morrissey. Morrissey, Anderson, Dolan, Connor, shoots and scores, and he's got 40. And it's 4-0 Winnipeg.
That's the final score, 4-0 Jets TV. It's been a struggle for Jamie Benn. 8 goals since the first of the year. That's 40 games. It's like half a season. There's a fresh Spits and Suds podcast out. They host Utah on Saturday, but these are a relatively meaningless couple of games because of the Colorado loss. Stars are locked into that two. I guess they could, you know. Technically, I guess Winnipeg hasn't clinched. There's no Z. There's no Z next to their name. There's no Z.
It's in pencil.
It's in pencil. It's in pencil, and the eraser's broke.
Dude, here's a wild note. Since January 1st, Jamie Benn only has 8 goals. That's in 40 games played. That's nearly half the season.
That's almost half a season.
Yeah, isn't that wild?
That's wild. Huh?
That's a callback if you weren't listening last hour.
Tough going for the Stars. Pit the bad time to lose 4 straight.
Yeah, this is not gone well, and especially after you were so close to sealing up that victory the other night before everything fell apart against Vancouver in the final minute, and then losing in overtime.
Had they won that game in regulation, they held on to the 5-2. They'd have been 3 back going into last night, 3 points back going into last night, and who knows, right? Who knows what happens.
Yeah, it's a completely different complexion at that point.
The wind got taken out of their sails.
That's exactly what happened. And, I mean, they were all, like, Jake talked about it the other day when he was in the locker room afterwards, that it was just everybody was stunned silent. You saw the video coming out of there of just guys hanging their heads, and they were shell-shocked after that. So, I don't know. You wonder if they totally rebounded yet.
I don't think they have, obviously. But they have a chance to. Use the last couple of games to do that. We'll talk to Brent Severin coming up 1 hour from now at 9:20. But new segment time for you. Let's name it this. A little master segment, a little golf. Talk Birdie to Me.
It's a good title.
There we go.
That's not poison.
That's not poison.
Should be poison.
You think so?
Talk
Birdie to Me. Justin Rose is your leader. He is 7 under. He is a 3 shots clear of Corey Connors, Scotty Scheffler, and Ludvig Åberg. Bryson DeChambeau finished up his round. He is 3 under par. Now, DeChambeau gets going here about he's on the tee. He is on. This is going to be Eastern time, so it's not an hour from now. He is on the tee. One thing that happened yesterday, Rory blew it. Rory McIlroy, in his 7th straight Masters where he has failed to shoot under par in his 7th straight Masters. What was that? He had 2 double bogeys in the back 9 yesterday. I'm sorry, the second 9. The back 9 at Augusta. It's the second 9.
That's right.
He had 2 doubles.
They prefer you to use a lot of words over there.
In the final few holes, and that was an awful, awful finish for him. Justin Rose hasn't won on tour since 2023. Corey Connors is always in the top 10, never actually wins a lot. She had some really good scores yesterday. We got to go to the afternoon session. You know, when we were going to the afternoon session, we had 10 guys at 2-under or better, and 41 at even par or better. What are you looking at?
Look at that tie-in right there. In the middle of Masters coverage on the 14-year anniversary of the show, there's the guy you beat out.
That's right. Matt Barry just sitting there hanging out, and there's Rory on the practice range. Brooks Koepka was 2-over at the turn. He got it back to even, and he wound up bogeying a couple, and he found out, and he's at 2-over as well. John Rahm, he is at 2-over. Phil's at 3-over. They're all in danger of missing the cut right now. The Liv guys did not show out.
What was that?
No, I clicked something.
I was like, this is the weirdest drop choice Peyton has ever given us.
The Liv guys did not play great. Like I said, Koepka, Rahm, Phil, Dustin stunk it up. Neiman was meh. It was really Hatton and Reed that carried the way for them. Patrick Reed always plays well here. Kind of a bummer. This is what happens when you never play golf competitively, and that's what the Liv guys are dealing with.
Do you have a problem? I'm seeing this as a complaint this morning. I just saw a story on Awful announcement about it. You said Rory blew it. He also apparently blew off the media. And they're saying that he chose not to speak to the media. He's skipping out on his media obligations after round one of the Masters. But he seems like he wants to talk a lot until he doesn't.
Yeah, so there was a story back in at the Players, so back in March. Colin Morikawa said, I don't owe the media any clips. I don't owe anybody anything, right? I don't owe anybody anything. That's what he said. Do we have this clip, Peyton?
I'm trying to find it.
All right. It should have been like yesterday, the day before. And it was Rory talking about, you know, they were talking to him about the same situation about, you know, Colin's comments. And this is what he had to say on it.
Colin Morikawa caught some criticism at the Players for saying he owes the media nothing after he left Bay Hill early. You obviously caught some heat, too, after doing that at Pinehurst. The conversation after situations like that sometimes is, in comparison to other professional athletes, golfers can be a little more sensitive. I'm wondering if you think that's a fair or unfair assessment.
Well, he's right. Not that I think he could have worded it a little bit better, but... Look, every other athlete, whether it be in the NBA, NFL, they're obligated to speak to you guys after a game. We're not. So, you know, whether that's something that the PGA Tour looks to in terms of putting that into their rules and regulations, but as long as that's not the case, and we have that option to opt out whenever we want, you know, expect guys to do that.
Okay. Well, I mean. Then don't be and moan that your sport isn't near the top and it doesn't get nearly as much attention if you're not going to have athletes who will advocate and be out front for it. And the only time you want to be out front is before that Saudi oil money goes in your pocket, Rory. So
yeah. I want to introduce you to Bobby Belt's favorite golfer.
Patrick Reed.
No.
Oh.
Josele Ballester.
Love the name.
He plays for Arizona State. He's from Spain.
Oh.
Okay. Forks up.
Does he hate Cam Scataboo? Is this where you're going with it?
No, he probably likes Cam Scataboo. He's an Arizona State guy. By the way, you fashion police dip you-know-whats.
Whoa.
Sergio is not dressed like ketchup and mustard. He's dressed like the Spanish flag. This is not hard to figure out. It's like one of the most recognizable flags in the world. How you don't know, why is Sergio dressed in yellow and red? Like, how you don't know that, I can't help you. Just stop being Bro. The fashion police here.
It looks
I
like know, Ronald McDonald.
It's a bit much, okay?
I'll be honest. I don't look at that and go, Spain.
That's a bit. Look, I'll admit it.
No.
It's a little much.
This is the first time I've seen the picture. You need to walk that back. That is definitely ketchup and mustard.
All right. But it's also clearly.
Hey, go find that. Hey, find Sergio Garcia, red, yellow, and throw up one of those photos. That is a ball boy for the Kansas City Chiefs.
It is a little Kansas City Chiefs-y, okay? But it's also an homage to Spain, España, all right?
I know, but you don't look at that and just think the Spanish flag. That's not like when you wear red, white, and blue. Like that's
I think
not,
it's exactly like when no, you wear
that,
red,
that's
white,
what
blue.
He's doing, but that is not as obvious. It's not like a blinking light of like, ah, yes, he's doing the colors of the flag.
Anyway, this ASU golfer, Josele Ballester, he's an amateur, right? Or an amateur, as they would say in golf. He's an amateur. And he plays at Arizona State, and he was paired with Scottie Scheffler and Justin Thomas. All right, and he's paired them again today. Well, he is getting roasted. Roasted on the social medias. Why is he getting so, roasted?
Tell me, Chop.
I'll tell you why. Because he decided to wear an Arizona State hat. Nothing wrong with that. But it's one of those upside down hats, right?
Oh, yeah. Like the one you're wearing.
Is this an upside down? Yeah. Like the one, exactly like the one I'm wearing. Only the one that this one says Sun Devils.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I have absolutely no issue with this. But it is all the rage on social media right now. Golf fans are fuming. Here we go. I might be an old head, but this kid showed up to his first Masters wearing an upside-down Sun Devils hat. It's insane. I don't know who you are, but you've already lost wearing this hat. It's egregious. I still can't get over his hat choice this morning. He got grouped with the best player in the world, and he opts for an upside-down lid. Guys, this is a fashionable hat. These are cool. There's a reason why everybody is stealing them, because people buy them.
This is just another example of how everything that has to do with this tournament is self-important and stuck up and outdated. Outdated in a lot of ways. Like, outdated in the same way that, pre-civil rights legislation kind of outdated.
Yeah, well, that definitely. So he was ridiculed by idiots on social media. And these are the same guys that show up to the Byron Nelson or to the Charles Schwab Colonial wearing golf attire and golf shoes in case someone's going to, like, tag you in. All right? I've seen guys go to these golf tournaments rocking full attire with the shoes. I saw a guy carry a sand wedge at the Nelson one time. You carry your sand wedge around with you? What? In case Mickelson is out there and he breaks his sand wedge and you hand it to him?
Yeah, like imagine somebody walking up with like a sweatband on their forehead. They have like if they would have been courtside last night, like I'm ready to go in.
I'm ready to go in, man.
If the Mavs need me tonight.
And then this kid, he's on the 13th. There's a bathroom right there, but he didn't see the bathroom. So this is his first time ever playing, you know, in the Masters. He starts walking, and then there's a problem with Thomas's ball. They're like looking for it. So he sneaks off into the woods and pees in Ray's and pees in the creek.
Okay, that seems like a bigger issue.
That's a bigger issue. And they asked him about it, and this kid, my hero, he's the anti-hero we need. He said, I'd do it again.
And then I'm like, I really need to pee. Didn't really know where to go. And since JT had an issue around the green, I'm like, okay, I'm just going to sneak here in the river. Probably the people would not see me that much. And then they clap for me. Probably one of the clubs that I really got today, like real loud. So that was kind of funny.
Are you concerned that there might be any blowback from that at all? Or, I mean, obviously they did see you, right?
Yeah, they saw me. They saw me. Yeah. I mean, it was not embarrassing at all for me. So if I had to do it again, I would do it again.
Man, this guy doesn't care. He doesn't care about tradition. He's wearing an upside-down hat. He's peeing in Ray's Creek.
He doesn't have to talk to the media, too. Like, I mean, I don't know but why he's bothering. He doesn't have to.
He doesn't have to.
Rory just told us he doesn't have to. He can hide out whenever he chokes again.
Justin Rose is now 8-under, increasing his lead, a 4-stroke lead over Connors, Scheffler, and Oberg. They are on the course at Augusta. Tom Hoagie, local. He is even for the tournament. Bryson DeChambeau, local. He is 3-under. A lot of guys from DFW around.
901. It's not outdated. It's just a different opinion. When I go to church, I feel like it's a formal event. And there's a level of respect. But I see people come to church with tank tops and baseball caps. I have an issue with that. It's not outdated. It's just an opinion. 901. The fact that you were comparing a bleeping golf event to church shows
there
you
is a
how
level,
ridiculous it is.
There is a level of decorum that you do expect at Augusta.
You right? can have a certain level of it, but they take it way overboard.
I don't have a problem with the upside down. The upside down hat is not a problem to me. I would have a much bigger problem. I had a much bigger problem when
there's more protests for, like, is the hat upside down than, like, hey, should we allow black people to be members here?
I would have a problem if they were a backwards hat at Augusta, right? That you can't even do that as a patron.
Oh,
apparently.
Romo can't golf there, then.
They did those mock turtlenecks. I had a big problem with that when they did that as well. But there you go. A little bit of talk birdie to me on 105.3 The Fan. What is coming up next to Below the Belt?
Oh, Isaiah Bond. Let's talk about Isaiah's Bond next in Below the Belt on 105.3 The Fan.
The great Bobby Belt.
Bobby Belt is an idiot.
Don't make me take off my belt.
Don't make me take off my belt.
We're not.
Over to you, Bobby.
Oh, thank God Isaiah has bonded out of jail. Let's talk about it here.
Who was that? Sheriff John Bonnell.
John Bonnell, I don't know that.
That was that like cop show like in the 90s, 2000s. Like, he's going to spend the rest of his life in jail.
I don't think I know that at all. What am I missing? What is
Franklin,
that?
Franklin Fantex, help me out here.
It was come like on, a Bobby. It was like a bit or it was like a
political ad? No, it was a TV show. It was like not like a Rescue 911 or Cops, kind of something like that. But like, he thought he could beat the law, but he's going to spend the next 2 years in jail.
I don't know it, to be 100% honest. Here's what I do know. Isaiah Bond is a free man once again, the Texas wide receiver. University of Texas wide receiver Isaiah Bond turned himself in Thursday morning on a sexual assault warrant issued by Frisco police. According to Frisco PD public information officer, Bond, 20, was subsequently released after posting bail. Bond released a statement obtained by NFL Network insider Ian Rappaport. Quote, regarding the accusation made against me, I would appreciate the time and opportunity to defend myself and prove the claims made patently false. I am in full cooperation with the authorities and will remain a willing and active participant in the investigation. Unfortunately, claims like these prove to be harmful to all involved. Absent full review, I kindly request that all reserve judgment until the authorities provide a complete report based on truth and evidence. The Texas product has been widely predicted to be a day two, second or third round selection in the upcoming 2025 NFL draft. Bond, who played his freshman and sophomore years at Alabama, is coming off a junior season with Texas in which he recorded 34 receptions for 540 yards and 5 touchdowns. And so there was this sexual assault claim that was made against him late last week, I think it was. So he had finally turned himself in, posted bond, and now he is out and free, and the NFL will commence with their investigations. I do find it interesting, at the very least, how frequently these stories will come out in April. Just the timing.
I'm not speaking to anything in regards
to the claims or anything else, but every year it does seem to come out in April for somebody.
It's pretty disgraceful.
I don't know that it may be completely true. It's just the timing of it. It's like, there's always at least one. There's always at least one person that has something come up in April, it feels like.
Yeah, like, all right, so the Laramie Tunsil thing, was that a team leaked that? How did that happen?
No, that turned out to be his dad or something. His dad leaked, or his stepdad leaked that as some sort of like payback.
What a loser.
Yeah, no, that was, they had found out years later, SB Nation had done a research on that, and that had to do completely with like somebody in his family who was trying to get payback on him and leaked it the day of the draft.
Like, if Isaiah Bond did all these things, you know, then I don't really have a problem with them coming out.
It was just real quick on Tunsil, his former financial advisor who he had fired, he leaked it.
Like, I don't have a great issue with these coming out. Now, like, if they were old, like, super old, and you're, like, my issue would be the teams that are, let's just say you're picking 20th, and you have a player that you don't think will be there, and you start floating things out there just to get them to drop. Like, you're literally, that should be illegal.
Yeah,
should be illegal. I mean, I'm sure it is, but it should be illegal.
To some extent, it probably is. If it's made up, it's slander.
Yeah.
And so then it is. If it's true, well, it's then true, it's kind of.
If it's true and you're just, and nobody knows about it and it doesn't, and no one's, and you're holding it and you're the only one who knows and you're just holding it and you're only throwing it out there to get him to drop. I mean, you basically cost him money, A, on the draft, and then B, you cost him sponsorships. Like, he'll never get a sponsorship if he did something. You know,
yeah, bad. There might be some sort of lawsuit in there.
Yeah.
But also, I feel like a lot of times, I don't know that it comes from teams. I just wonder if one of two reasons. One, let's say you want to get back at somebody. Mm-hmm. So you make a claim that's not true and you time it out right now so that even if it's proven untrue, it still harms them in the end. Or let's say it is true and you just decide this person wronged me. I'm just going to wait till like April to hit him with it.
Yeah.
which I don't totally have a problem with if that's the case. If they did something wrong.
If they did something wrong, they did something wrong.
If they did something wrong and somebody wants to, this is my form of justice for myself, is to then.
Yeah. If it's
but
a team,
if they didn't do it, it's obviously
right.
wrong.
If it's a team doing it, that's where the problem for me happens. If it's, you know, if it's somebody who was wronged, you know, then that's okay.
713, in that case, I've heard Ashton Gentry hates puppies. He does.
Hates puppies?
Yeah, hates them. He's just
they do pee everywhere.
I mean, he's just, he doesn't like them.
Peyton's not a puppy fan.
Oh, Peyton loves dogs more than he loves people.
Oh, dogs over humans.
Well, I mean, in general, but Peyton doesn't like puppies.
He doesn't.
That's made up.
Ashton Gentry, it's not.
I'll tell you this.
It's not made up about Ashton Gentry. I would not take a guy in the top 11.
Who doesn't like puppies?
Yeah.
I tell you this. We are kind of, we think, out of the puppy stage. Our dog's two. He'll be two in May. He's finally getting his brain to work. He hasn't really had any accidents in the house in like a year. We broke it. We finally broke it. He was pooping everywhere.
Refused to
hold it. Now, old Pudgy doing well.
He did it.
Finally hitting preteen, and he's doing well.
214, if it's true and I was the victim, I would want it to drop to give him the most punishment, so I would wait until April. And I understand that.
Yeah, if you're the victim, I get it.
Look, I mean, I am up there with the pettiest of them all. I will not disclose totally what this is, but Choppy knows about this. This is I think Peyton knows too. This is a note right here. See this? This is a petty little note I keep in my wallet at all times, just in case. And just in case I happen to pass away. Here you go. Chop, do not open it up on the fan cam.
Oh, I know about that.
Do you know about this note, Peyton?
No, I don't think I do.
Okay, so
Dude, you've got to put that away. You can't have that. You can't have that. Right? He can't. That's not right.
That's funny.
It's objectively funny.
So I get it. If you wanted to try it, if you were victimized by somebody, I get why you would.
You weren't victimized by this
person. Just relax. I think it's funny.
Look, again, yes, it's funny. You can't.
Am I the pettiest individual in our show? Or is it Sean?
You're the most dangerous individual on the show.
Because of how twisted I am?
Because of your ability to ruin someone's life using the computer.
Oh, yeah. Like I'm
you're like Sandra Bullock in The Net. You're like the bad people in The Net.
Let's talk about Shador Sanders, and let's move off of what I have in my wallet. But, you know, if I ever pass away unexpectedly, Dallas police, just check my wallet. All right, let's talk about Colorado quarterback Shador Sanders. He's meeting around with teams, and the question has been asked, is he rubbing people the wrong way? Has he done things to put people off with his approach and the very big personality, some of the bravado, different things like that? Has that rubbed teams the wrong way? Well, he told NFL Network that he is maintaining his authenticity. He is remaining completely who he is throughout the entire process. And he says that if you like it, you like it. And if you don't, you don't. He said, when I talk to any team, I understand the work it's going to take, and I see the dynamic of everybody that's around, so I know how I approach different situations and what I'm going to have to do to be successful in different franchises. So I'm just sitting back, observing, watching everything, and all of what's going to take to change the franchise for the better. He says, when I go visit these coaches and when I go to all these different franchises, I ask them truly what I think and how, or I tell them truly what I think and how I feel. Some get offended, some like it, some don't. Makes some people uncomfortable, some people invite that. They know what type of person, what type of player they're going to get out of me. So I just have to make sure what type of culture or what type of dynamic I'm going I'm going to have with them also. And this is where I really respect Shador Sanders from the perspective of when he stood up at the podium in Indianapolis and he was asked about his approach and the way that he does things. I thought he had a great answer. He was like, basically, here's what it is. If you want somebody to come in there and change your culture, then pick me. If that's what you're worried about, you come pick me because I'm going to go in there and I'm going to establish something. There's a swagger, there's a cockiness, but I think there's genuine leadership traits there too with Shador. It's just you have to ask yourself, is it the type of it? You know how Terrell Owens, he influenced people. Mm-hmm. He had a natural ability to influence people and get people to follow him. You just didn't always know if he was leading them the right way.
Look, I don't have a problem with Shador's if you want to call it attitude, I don't have a problem with that. I don't think he's got a bad attitude. I have no problem with Shador. My question with Shador is like as a player.
I think he's, you know, I think only, he's
only
good.
Because, you know, Jackson State, obviously, he did not play against great competition at Jackson State. And then at Colorado, it was fine. It was fine competition, but it's not like it was Big Ten SEC. That's the only questions I would have. I mean, other than that, like, you know, the guy grew up. I think it's an advantage to have Deion as your dad. You grew up in the NFL.
You grew up in the
locker room.
I was going to say, you say it's an advantage. You don't think Deion's been a detriment to him at all?
I think he's been a detriment if people want him to be a detriment. They've already made their mind up on Deion and Shador. Like, don't you think that the sons and daughters of athletes are smarter in that sport than somebody who didn't grow up with a father or mother who played professional sports somewhere? Don't you think?
Yeah,
that,
generally,
right?
Generally, but if you're
don't
talking,
you think that LeBron, that Bronny,
but think about how unique Deion is. Deion was thought of at times as being too much of a culture destroyer.
Like, don't you think that that Bronny has a higher basketball IQ than a kid who, you know, grew up with parents who never saw basketball before?
Yeah, probably.
Right?
Like, you probably.
Look at Bassick on the TV. Bassick, there are plenty of Major League Baseball players who don't have Bassick's baseball IQ. I think a lot of that had to do with the fact that his dad played the majors.
We have people trying to guess what the note in my wallet says.
Oh, man.
321 and 325 both say, does Bobby have a note that says Dan Orlovsky did it? That is the exact guess they made. They both guessed that exact language. Dan Orlovsky did it.
It's close.
316, the note definitely tells the police to check out Mickey Fisher as a murder suspect. You know what? Let us know. The note in my wallet. Give us your best guesses, and I'll read them later on. What do you think the note in my wallet says? The note that I leave in here in case I die. The note I leave for law enforcement officials. Guess, and we'll read some of the best answers on the fan text, 877-881-1053.
B-Low.
B-Belt.
On 105.3, the fan, Brent Severin, joined the show at 920, and a terrible idea on how to fix the Mavericks. It's all coming up next on 105.3, the fan.